you'd get from like your grandma. Like, you know what I mean?
All right, welcome to the Graceful Grizzly Podcast. My name is Mauricio, and with me, as always, is my amazing co-host, Tyler.
Yo, I am here also. How's everybody doing? How you doing, Mauricio?
I'm good, man. Coming to you live from my upstairs bedroom.
Whoop. Let's go. The studio up there?
Yeah, dude. We had some technical difficulties before getting on, just because we're trying to figure out microphones and headphones and all that, but we got it. I think
that's right. It's a new world, I think, for everybody. We're all trying to learn how to do things from our upstairs apartment bedroom, as it were.
That's right. Man, we're excited. It's episode 31, and this one's going to be a mini episode because we want to make a little compact little appetizer episode for you guys. So this is what this is. All right. It's going to have the nightly news and it's going to have the quick questions, and that's it really.
Tonight. You know, sometimes less is more, Mauricio.
That's what
and,
I think.
You know, like the world is a complicated place in this day and age. You guys don't need any more complexities. Let's just keep it simple for once.
That's right. So we're excited. And we also want to thank our Patreons. Man, you guys are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Our patrons are awesome, dude. Like we thank you guys every episode, but you deserve so much credit for just keeping the show going and just keeping us motivated, giving us input, all of our close friends on Instagram, etc. You guys are awesome, man.
Yeah. So big shout out to the Instagram. We're 1500 plus, which is awesome. You guys are killing it on there. I had to post another, hey, this is for our followers, like a little post for them. So we posted a picture. We actually got to hang out, recently, like what, yesterday or 2 days ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple days ago. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to hang out and, you know, play on the playground with Leia and just spend time. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was a beautiful day. You know, the weather's starting to get warmer. Dude, that was awesome though. And everybody, Leia seems popular. She's definitely more popular than I am.
So, dude, everybody, I mean, that lady talked to you for like half an hour about Leia and her dog was like giant and like white. Yeah. And your dog is like tiny. It's just so funny. Like it was such a contrast to see those two dogs talking.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Man.
So Frenchies are, I was telling Mauricio before we started, Frenchies are on the top. They're the number one breed, the number one most popular breed. So, right. I definitely, you know, people only really like me for my dog, I think at this point. So thanks for sticking around.
Come on. Man. So listen, we're going to do an unconventional shout out this week. We want to shout out R2-D2 because we saw this meme and we thought it was hilarious and we wanted to share it with you guys. So take it away, Tyler.
Yeah. So if you watch Star Wars, you know R2-D2 is the realist and he's in like every episode. And and the meme says, you know, R2-D2 ain't a snitch. He knew Anakin was Vader, pretended not to know who Yoda and Obi-Wan were, and shut himself down when Luke didn't want to be found. No wonder he was trusted with the Death Star plans. R2 is the ultimate ride or die droid. That's the absolute truth, isn't it?
That's right. Bars. Man, shout out to R2-D2. You're awesome. Thank you for being no snitch. And, you know, snitches get stitches is what they say. So
that's right.
Yeah. You know, but man, I'm excited. I'm in the mood for something that is news that's possibly every night.
Well, we have that right here. Good. Let's jump into our nightly news tonight, dude.
All right.
This first story, man, this is heartwarming. I think this is this will make your day right here. So basically a Baltimore restaurant owner was requested to basically there was one of his regular customers was on her deathbed, basically asking, you know, hey, there's this one food that I really love that you do. You know, I'm like 6 hours away. I can't come in, but I would really love to have this meal that you guys get, you know, make one last time. And she was basically asking if she could get the recipe to try to make it at home. But this dude was the realist also, just like R2-D2. And he was like, you know what? Honestly, I'm going to just drive over to you 6 hours and come, and I'm going to bring the ingredients and I'm going to cook you this meal. So he showed up, dude, and all the way like 6 hours away to go cook this meal for this woman. I thought that was really cool, man.
And I'm telling you, I think some people just love to cook and love to like help others. And this really speaks to me. I mean, man, just to go out of your way, literally out of your way, to talk to people is awesome, and to give them food and all that. I mean, what an awesome, and we love food. I mean, I don't know if you would drive 6 hours to get me food, Tyler. I don't know. But
if you were on your deathbed, I would.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But
you probably would.
I don't want to think about that. It's too sad.
Don't do it.
I can't.
You're not gonna cry. No.
Yeah, man, I mean, this is why. Like, this is so cool. You know, I think he probably missed a day of work for this, you know, and like as a business owner, you know, that sets you back when you miss time like that. So that was like super cool of him to do. And this was his name was Steve Chu. Mm-hmm. And he owns a couple of Ikebon. I don't know how you say it. Ikebon.
Ooh, yeah.
Restaurants in Baltimore. So, you know, if you're ever in the Baltimore area, try to hit up this guy's restaurant, support this guy. This is very cool that what he did.
That's not too far from us either. We can probably go over there and have some of his tempura broccoli, dude.
I know. This really speaks highly to that tempura broccoli.
So this is awesome, though. If you look at the article, he's literally cooking on his tailgate.
Yeah.
That is awesome to me. Like, maybe that's probably the only reason I would get a truck, is because of the fact that you can cook on a tailgate. Like, that's awesome. I love that. Man, he just seems so excited. And like, you know, I definitely admire his desire to want to go out and see this lady, especially with coronavirus and everything. Everybody's been so, you know, cautious about things. And the fact that he was just like, you know what, I'm going to go out no matter what. And go see this lady.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And they wore masks and everything. And this is honestly, that's probably why they were cooking in the truck. It was like, maybe they didn't want to have to go inside, but like, that's dedication.
Dude, tempura, which is just fried broccoli, looks amazing. I mean, I like broccoli. I've always been a broccoli person. So that's like, and Avery is now a broccoli person. Like, she'll eat like 6 or 7 pieces, which is crazy. I know. So just insane. I think that, you know, if you're going to do this for somebody, make sure that you really, you know, go all out. And I guess he did. So that's awesome.
Yeah, man. Definitely. Yeah. Shout out to Steve Chu. You're the realest, man.
Dude.
And we gotta have an animal story, even on our mini ep. So this week we are highlighting a tiny cotton ball bird that lives on a Japanese island. And it looks like a cotton ball. I will say it looks just like a cotton ball. This thing's pretty cute though, huh?
Yeah, it's super cute. It's awesome. So this little bird is called the long-haired tit. All right, and you find them in Europe and Asia, and their tails aren't long per se, but they are, compared to the rest of their body, are considered long. So I mean, they're just adorable, man. I mean, here's the thing. I think there's some animals that are just too cute to eat, you know? And this bird, based on its looks, is definitely too cute to eat, I feel. It's also too small to eat, I feel. But definitely too cute to eat. I mean, they're adorable.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely adorable. It's flying through this one tree that has these little cottons on it. And it's like, it looks like it just blends in, you know?
That's probably why. I mean, a lot of birds, I guess, do that for, you know, camouflage and all that stuff. So,
right.
So cute. Oh my gosh. I want one, Tyler.
Yeah. I think that this would be, I'm not usually a fan of having like birds as pets, but I feel like this one, I could deal with this.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely cute. I don't know what it would eat. My gosh, I want to know how to take
little cotton balls,
cotton candy.
Little cotton
All it
candy.
Does is eat cotton candy. No, because I'm always interested in like what would make, you know, what would make this bird, you know, like how would you make this bird survive, you know? Because it looks like it's a typical bird. Maybe it's sushi, I don't know. But it's definitely just so cute, man. I want one. And the cool thing is just it's only found on this island in Europe. Like I have to go all the way to this island to Japan. Go see. Yeah, I have to go to Japan just to see this adorable bird in real life.
That is pretty cool. When you think about like certain animals that live only in a certain place and it's very specific, it's like one island. Like that's pretty cool. It's like when back in the day when you'd like catch a rare Pokemon, you know? It's like if you ever saw one of these in real life, you know, it's like add it to your Pokédex because this is a find.
I feel like it, right? Like I feel like they would be a Pokemon in real life. And what other animals do you feel like are Pokemon in real life besides Leia? Because I do feel like Leia's a Bulbasaur.
Oh, she's 100% a Bulbasaur. I'm still trying to get her to say it. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, there's definitely some like you ever just see something really cute and you just think like, man, I feel like that little mouse could like zap me with a thunderbolt, you know?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Well, I think otters, any kind of aquatic animal, I feel like would be a Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder if Pokemon are based on, like, if are Pokemon based on real life animals? And if so, then like once they got to the next seasons, they just ran out of things because all those ones are like insane looking.
That's really true. Yeah, that's why I like the first generation the most. Because they were like the most, they're like the most like, I don't know, unique. And then it was almost like as time went on, they just ran out of ideas and they're like, well, what if we stick a metal arm on a piece of rocks that, you know, has like a tail that's made out of skin? It's like, what is this like weird contraption?
Well, at one point they did like steel Pokemon. It never even used to be like, it used to be just normal, you know, Pokemon. And then it's like steel came in there and all these other different types that were just strange. And I just kind of stopped following it. Also, I grew up, but still, you know.
That's no excuse. Yeah,
you're right. But definitely, I mean, they're just, you know, these birds would definitely be a Pokemon. I would try to throw a Pokeball at it, but it would probably die under the weight of the Pokeball. So
it's so sad. Yeah. When you think about how Pokemon would work in real life, like, yeah, I'm going to go like throw this capture device at this animal. I'm going to smack it in the face. I'm going to go beat it up.
Every episode, they smack it in the face.
I'm going to go beat this thing up, throw a ball at it, and then make it do my biddings. It's like, ooh.
You have to, though.
I know.
Like, you have to tire it out to the point where it's exhausted and it cannot fight back. And then you capture it and it becomes your animal slave for the rest of the time that it's alive.
Right.
And that's a terrible concept. And I don't know why we enjoyed it as kids, but we did.
Because we didn't think too much. You know, we didn't think past like, oh, look at this cute thing. That's all we needed to know.
Yeah, we didn't really psychoanalyze the ramifications of what Pokemon, you know, really meant. It's like, hey, gotta catch them all against their will. That's what that is. You know, like
just enslave them all.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like we have this animal army that we've just taken over. And also some Pokemon are more valuable than others based on their ability to kind of you know, fight. So like you definitely want a Charizard.
Yeah.
But you don't want like a Caterpie or like, you know, the little worm guy. It's not okay.
Yeah. But that was always the sad. There was the one episode. It was so sad where like the trainer wanted to get rid of his Charmander because it wasn't very strong. And so he abandoned it. And it was like, man, I felt like I could cry watching that. But then Ash, you know, he came through and he got Charmander.
Yeah. He was, you know, I think that it's so funny how Ash gets kind of his, I don't know. He kind of just gets all his, like all of his Pokemon seem to have this like crazy long story to it, you know, like,
right.
He got Pikachu and Pikachu didn't really want to be with him. You know, it's funny to me, like all this stuff about like how the backstory grew into what it is, you know? And then I guess he just leaves, like he's done. Like there's no career for him. Right. In Pokemon training.
I don't know.
just tournaments, and that's it. That's your income.
You know? I guess he just makes money winning tournaments, maybe getting sponsorships.
Yeah. Dude, he would be an influencer.
Yeah.
He would make major money.
That's right. He would sell G Fuel on Instagram.
He has his own Twitch channel. He would definitely make money off there.
Oh, man. Yeah, so shout out to Cotton Balls. Shout out to Japan. Shout out to Birds. We see you.
We see you.
Oh, man. Our next story is a classic Florida man story.
Yes.
And let's see what Florida man's up to this week, shall we?
Man.
He's got some scheming that he's up to this week. So we heard about a Florida man that was fired after making fake vaccine cards as a business. Is this real?
So apparently, I mean, this guy, Florida man, lost his job at a marketing company where he does websites and design. So Tyler, watch out, dude. If this guy applies at your job.
Man, I know, right? If I see Tampa area, you know, on his resume, I'm going to just steer clear.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess he took his talents and said, you know what? I'm going to make fake COVID vaccine cards and I'm going to sell them to people. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, with the pandemic and the vaccine coming out and everybody, you know, having their own choice on whether to take it or not. I just think this was a terrible play on his part because he was advertising on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I feel like kids are a lot smarter nowadays.
Yeah.
And they're just going to expose you. I mean, we know how hard Gen Z is on millennials. This dude didn't understand the rules here.
Yeah. He didn't. Yeah. He definitely lost sight of what's going on. That's kind of crazy, you know, like, and they were saying basically that, like, because there's no official database for verifying vaccinations yet, those little pieces of paper that you get are kind of like currently the best source of seeing if someone's vaccinated. So it actually kind of ends up being a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. It's like having a fake ID almost.
Did you ever get a fake ID, Tyler?
I never had a fake ID.
Me neither. I didn't know where to get one. I would be scared to like ask somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, or like pay somebody like $100 to get a fake ID. I feel like that's.
Yeah. I don't think I would have had the money for it either. Like $100 right? back then was like, what?
A lot.
It's like, yeah. What am I going to do after that? I'm going to be broke after that. But I don't know. I mean, I guess you can make money in nefarious ways. Fake IDs, you know, especially if you have a specific set of skills.
Yeah.
Making fake documents.
Dude, somebody might snatch you up because you're so good at graphic design and force you to counterfeit money or something. You know, you never know.
That's right. I got to like really, you know, next time somebody wants me to do like freelance work, I'm like really, really look into the job description and make sure I'm not getting duped, you know? Wait a minute. Why am I pasting your face onto this document? Why does it say vaccinated?
We want you to make a exact replica of the Declaration of Independence. It's like, wait, Nicholas Cage? You know, like it would be a shady thing. Like you need to read through your contracts and make sure that you're not, you know, stealing anything or doing anything that would be, you know, illegal technically.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely had people, it's not quite as bad, but I've definitely had people be like, hey, I want to pay you to like basically copy this design that I saw on a t-shirt or copy this design that I saw somewhere. And they'll just be like, yeah, just no, I want it to be like exactly the same. And you could, a lot of designers, like you really could fall into that trap and be like, all right, well, that's what they want. But like not always a good thing to just copy someone else's work.
Right. Yeah, because then you get into copyright laws and all this other craziness.
Yeah.
Definitely want to steer clear of that. So if anybody asks you guys, hey, want to buy a fake vaccine card, I wouldn't do it.
No, it's not worth it.
I don't think so.
It's not worth it.
No.
Interesting times we live in.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think there's enough good going on between tiny cotton ball birds and, you know, generous restaurant owners to outweigh the bad.
That's right. Oh man. So I really do feel like this episode is going quick.
Oh man. Should we talk half as fast? Maybe we could just have our listeners put it on 0.5 speed and just listen like this.
It's time for our quick questions.
Oh, that's exactly what it sounds like too. But the thing is, now when they put it on 0.5, they're going to hear that twice as slow, and it's going to sound like, oh my gosh, I don't even know.
Terrible.
Let us know how we sound at 0.5x speed, and we're going to jump into some awesome quick questions.
All right.
Are you ready for these?
I'm excited. Let's go.
I'm excited too. All right. So our first question comes in from at Sid the Sloth 2478. And Sid the Sloth is asking us, what is your pet's Spotify playlist? Now, I know you don't have any pets in the house right now, Mauricio, but I imagine you could still have an answer to this based on pets you've had, pets you will have, the dog you're going to get, you know, sometime soon, hopefully.
Well, you know, I keep telling you, Renee wants to get that naked Sphinx cat, so.
Oh, true.
I know. And we showed a picture to Avery, and she said, no, I want one with hair. Like, she literally said that. She was so terrified of the Sphinx cat that she was like, no, I want the one that has the hair, not the naked one. It looks scary.
She's a wise girl.
Yeah. I mean, they're terrifying. They're terrifying. I get it. But, you know, they're so hyperallergenic. And, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, and honestly, a lot of people could say that a French bulldog is pretty weird looking too, but we've got one. So I can't judge, you know, I can't judge.
Yeah. I mean, as far as, you know, I think all of my pets were pretty much happy. I had a pet goat at one point. He definitely was a little jumpy and wild. So he would probably listen to Wild Thing. Definitely. I mean, you know, it's a funny question. You know, I think that animals like music, not crazy music, you know, not loud, crazy music, but I feel like, you know, if you put on certain songs, dogs get a little crazy. I feel like cats would have a very moody playlist, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear you there. I think dogs are more like, they just want to like party, you know, they just want to like have fun. And they want to play, they want to go fetch and stuff. So I think that it'd be like, girls just want to have fun, you know? That'd be like, you know, she'd be, girls just want to have fun.
Have fun. Yeah, and you know what? Like, I feel like dogs have the happiness, but then cats are listening to like John Mayer breakup songs, you know? Like,
yeah. Just
like, they're just like, oh, everything stinks, you know?
Yep.
Man,
exactly. More of that, you know, it's got that emotional bent to it, you know, it's just deep in thought. Yeah. More deep in thought.
I think with cats, it's like they're so moody, but really dogs are always happy, but cats are kind of like a picture of, like, you know, I think a lot of people that don't like cats just don't like the fact that they're not like readily accessible to pet all the time. Does that make sense?
That's true. Yep.
You know, so it's like the personalities that like more of a, you know, active, like happy thing are like those personalities. And then people that aren't like that, they just kind of want, you know, more chill pet that relatively takes care of itself. So even then, I mean, I feel like cats are more chill animals. So their music taste would be more chill, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. Good question, Sid the Sloth. That's an interesting thought. What would your pet's Spotify playlist be?
Like, and let me know, Sloth, what a Sloth's playlist would be, because it'd probably be at 0.2.5% in speed. Like, it would be terribly slow.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's right. Oh, what was the movie? Wasn't it Zootopia that had a sloth? Was it Zootopia that had a sloth in it? It was like really slow and like, that was pretty funny actually.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, our next question is coming in from a big fan bra on Instagram and big fan written in before several times coming at us with another question. Why is the McDonald's ice cream machine always McBroken?
Oh, it's McSad is what it is.
It is McSad. We need answers.
Oh, no, we do.
It's time we start demanding answers.
I did see a meme that was like, as soon as your stimulus check hits, you're like, I want some ice cream. And McDonald's like, hell, it's broken. And then you're like, well, how much does it cost to fix it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like
you blow your whole check on an ice cream machine.
But like at one point you're like, I mean, why isn't it working? You know, like I want to know why isn't it working? It's just, it's been years, you know? The other day too, I went to go get Renee some ice cream and the ice cream machine was not broken, but they were out of hot fudge for the sundae. And so I ended up getting her caramel and she looked like I had, you know, ran over her dog or something. Like,
oh, it was like, no.
She's like, you know, I don't like caramel. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. But caramel is a distinct difference than chocolate.
Yeah.
Caramel people are caramel people and chocolate people are definitely chocolate people.
Definitely. It's definitely different. Man, if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, it's like, yeah, the ice cream machine's working, but we're all out of hot fudge. Like, what?
And that's the best part, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I personally, I like the caramel, but if you're not expecting caramel, it's like, you know when you ever like pick up a drink and you're expecting it to taste like one thing, and then it's like it tastes like something else you weren't expecting. You're like, oh, I forgot that was my, you know, my milk, not my Coca-Cola. And it was like different, you know, totally different flavor.
Yeah. And I get that too when I do the, have you seen the sodas that like the big red machine at restaurants that they like have like grape, cherry, Coke or whatever? And I'm always like, okay, I'm going to get the cherry Coke. And it just doesn't taste the same to me for some reason.
Yeah.
It's like, this is too cherry for me because you can see the red syrup pouring in and you're just like, because I'm used to the cherry Coke in the can, not the cherry Coke that comes out of that crazy. Like, I don't need 8,700 choices for soda.
I know, right? It's like, so overkill.
Give me the basics. Give me the.
I'd love to see a statistic that's like, how many of the people that use those machines actually do anything other than like the base flavor? Because like every time I do it, I get. If I'm going to use one of those machines and there's like 1,000 flavors, I just get like Coca-Cola with nothing in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like so basic.
Well, that nozzle too is being used for all those flavors. So even if you get regular Coke, it sometimes tastes like lime, peanut butter, chocolate, Coke. You're like, what the heck?
Peanut butter,
I just
Coke.
Wanted, I just wanted a simple, you don't have to sell me on all these crazy flavors. Like, I don't want grape, cherry, lime, kiwi, Mountain Dew. I just want normal Mountain Dew. And if I go, you know, obviously Code Red, shout out to Code Red. But we'll also go Baja Blast. You know, that's the most wild I'll go. Dr. Pepper Solid, because it's just, I don't know. That's the only one that I like that has multiple kind of flavors in there.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper's good.
Yeah. So I think you don't have to give so many flavors. But back to the McDonald's ice cream machine. I don't know, man. I mean, they're just, I don't know if it's maintenance. Somebody told me they never clean it either, so I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm like, I was trying to theorize, what could it be? I'm wondering if those machines are just really old.
Wait, didn't you work there?
I used to, yeah, but I mean, I'm wondering, like, if I was to go into McDonald's today, you know, would they still be using the same machine they used when I worked there, you know, like 10 years ago? Like, it's the same, because it seems like it's the same thing. It's the same engineering. Right. So I'm like, maybe they just need to replace their machineries.
Yeah, most likely.
I don't know.
So gross. But yeah, man, I don't know. I guess it's just because they're, you know, they're all clogged up because of all the goodness they're giving every day. They're just working too hard is what I think.
Working. Yeah. Yeah, you're the real MVP, McDonald's ice cream.
You're just hurt. Yeah.
I heard somebody told me recently that McDonald's actually has a unique blend of Coca-Cola, and that's why it tastes better than other places. It's like not actually just like in our minds. That's like real.
Yeah, it has like 2% more sugar than normal.
Isn't that nuts? Like,
it's like a weird, yeah. I read that somewhere too, and I was like, what the heck?
Yeah. I had no idea. I thought it was just in people's brains. Like it was like mental. Like, oh no, it's can't. I mean, but it's actually a different formula. And like, I guess they have some sort of contract where they're the only ones that could use it.
Why do you think you always crave McDonald's soda?
I mean, dude. And then I started thinking, what else do they do that with that I'm like, just crave? And I'm like, I feel like anything I get from McDonald's is just like engineered, you know what I mean? To be like addicted. Like, it's pretty wild.
We talked about it too. We said that McDonald's is like a necessary evil.
Yeah.
Because like if you're just driving around and you're in a hurry and you need food, you know, whether you want to consider that food or not, it's gonna be calories and it's gonna be something that keeps you upright. Right. So I feel like fast food to me is a very like distinct necessary evil that we really have gotten used to this point. Like there's never gonna be like a place that does fast food salads because you can't really eat a salad while you're driving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be something you can hold in one hand in order for it to be successful. Like, I'm not going to eat a Chipotle bowl with one hand and it'll never be fast food is what I think, you know?
Yeah, because I feel like there's only so much quality that you can deliver at that speed. And that's why things like Chipotle aren't like, you don't have a drive-through. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like... I can get you like a burger that was just like slapped together in 2 seconds, but like to like anything more complex, it's going to take me longer, you know?
Can you imagine just driving through, getting to the drive through, and then parking, and then someone just has a fast food gun that they shoot straight into your mouth?
How much faster can we get this, guys? Come on.
That'll be 562, sir.
Oh my god.
That's so gross.
Just right in your mouth.
It'd be like a KFC, you know the KFC bowls?
Yeah, yeah.
It would be one of those in like a grenade launcher. That's disgusting. Oh, anyway.
Sometimes I feel like I want food to be that fast though. It's like I just don't have time. I'm like what's the fastest thing I can just eat to be done with it?
Dude, we had a boss like down in Florida, like when I worked at a hardware store, and his name was Chap. And dude, he literally only ate four substance. Like he inhaled food. Cause he always like would say, it's like, oh, it's such a waste of time to eat.
Yeah.
So like he would literally just like eat a sandwich and like inhale it and be done and get up and go do something. I'm just like, my gosh, like I can't, like I like to enjoy my food a little bit, you know, yeah. I do eat fast. But that's, you know, it's just crazy. Like some people think that way.
I've heard people talk about like, if there was a pill you could take that would just provide you the nutrients you need, but you didn't have to take time to like eat or cook or anything, like, would you do it? And I feel like there's two camps. You're saying no. Well, you love food. I mean, we both love food, but like you know, also to you, I think food is also like an art almost. It's like, you're a chef, you know what I mean? So it's like, little different. You have a different relationship with food than a lot of people who are just like, I just got to eat to get by.
Yeah, he was like that. You know, we had Subway and like, you know, the foot long. And like usually I'm always the fastest eater in the room for most. I used to be. Now that I've gotten older, it's kind of like I can't. But we had the foot long and I'm telling you, within 2 to 3 minutes, it's gone. I'm like,
yeah, that's wild. You know? He's like, back to work.
Let's go. I'm like, dude, I got half an hour, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think again, McDonald's ice cream machine always being broken and you know, fast food's always going to be with us for the rest of our lives. I feel like so.
Yeah. I think we got quite off topic on that one. Circling back around. Thank you, Big Van Bra. We don't have the answers, but we do have some theories. And we will continue to investigate. Our next question comes in from @RoccoShaco. who is asking, if you were any dessert in the world, what dessert would you be?
Man. And so I've thought about this a lot. Definitely I'd be a creme brulee. And the reason is because it is one of the most beautiful, sophisticated, but simple, you know? So it's basically a custard, you know, it's got like a really nice custard, but then you basically, sprinkle white sugar on top, and then you get a torch and you burn the top of it. And there's other ways you can do that too. You can make an actual like glaze and all that stuff. But yeah, I definitely love creme brulee. It's one of my favorite desserts. I also like, tres leches as well. I love that. Flan is good, but all those desserts, man, I'm into. Nice. And it's hard when I go to Cheesecake Factory. I'm like, oh no, dude, I can go ham on a cheesecake.
All those desserts you just said, creme brulee, flan, and tres leches. I don't think I've had any of those.
Dude.
I don't think I've had any of those desserts. Like, I'm just very much like a, like when it comes to desserts, I guess I haven't been super adventurous. Like, maybe I need to try more things.
Right.
But I like simple desserts. For the most part, I'm not too picky. And so I think if I had to choose, I probably would just be like a classic, like something delicious that you love to eat, but that's not very complicated. And I'm just like, maybe I'm just like cookie dough. You know what I mean? You just like grab you just grab some cookie dough. And it's just like so good. Like chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream is definitely one of the best flavors of ice cream.
Dude. For sure. The chocolate chip cookie has been a staple for a long time with a lot of people. And it's definitely, I mean, it's up there with one of my favorites. I always say it depends on like, you know, how it's cooked and like the batter and like, you know, if you add too much butter, or like, 'cause I've had some bad ones, but usually even the ones you buy at the store are okay. But usually the ones I have that are like, you know, like Rebecca, she makes an awesome one, you know, like it's all homemade and it's so good, you know? So yeah, that's a good one, man. I can see you as a little chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah. You know, simple, but just delicious.
That's right.
That's how I describe myself.
That was your name in high school.
That was my nickname in high school.
Cookie dough. cookie
Yo, what dough. Up?
There's creme brulee over there. Yeah, but you're right though. I feel like desserts are a little, you know, they can go either way. Baked Alaska. Have you ever seen what baked Alaska looks like?
I don't think so.
So it's basically this dessert and they just light it on fire.
Oh, it sounds familiar.
Yeah,
I love when food has like a special presentation to it. Like when they bring out like the fajitas at a Mexican restaurant and it's like sizzling.
Oh, so good, fun. Dude. Yeah. I think that it's like so it's such a like presentation thing when it comes to like, you know, chefs and food just in general.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I think that baking is a different monster than cooking is, in the sense of like you have to be so precise. Here, I sent you a picture of baked Alaska so you can look at it.
All right, let's see what this looks like,
dude.
Tyler's about to see. That looks Alaska. Complex.
I know, so it's really cool. I've never personally seen it in real life, but I know that it's out there. And it's just being all super cool and complicated. But I think it's just a sponge cake with like meringue and stuff. And you can do chocolate pudding too. And you just kind of, light it on fire if you want to be crazy about it. There's a lot of stuff that tastes better with fire.
Well, I always love that. Like, well, it's kind of like a marshmallow. Like, you know, when you toast a marshmallow.
Yeah.
And it gets the, just like the, because it's just sugar. Like, it just like crystallizes, and that's kind of how your creme brulee is, right? Like you just crystallize the sugar, and then it gives it a little bit of like a crunch.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Oh man, I'm like hungry for dessert now.
Well, like, it's funny because you can like caramelize anything really with sugar. So like onions, if you cook them for a long time, you know, and cook them slowly, they start to sweat, and then the sugar in the onion actually comes out of it and then crystallizes and makes a, you know, it makes it look like that brown texture or whatever. So,
yeah,
you know, so it's kind of cool. Like the science behind cooking, like it has to do with like acid and heat, and all these kind of things. But yeah, those are cool, man. I definitely could see you as a cookie dough, man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh man. Desserts. That sounds desserts. So good right now. Yeah, man. So thank you, Rocco Shaco. Beautiful question. We always love talking about food.
Yep.
And we have one more question here from at DJ TJ Garmin on Instagram, longtime friend of mine. And he's asking, why is quicksand not a bigger issue than when I would watch cartoons as a kid? And I totally know what he's talking about, because there was, as a kid, you would watch cartoons, you would play video games, you would do all these things, right? And you would think that, man, okay, when I go to this one level in Super Mario Brothers, like I sink in quicksand, and it's like, man, when I grow up, I gotta watch out for quicksand. This is gonna be a problem, you know? And like,
yeah, you're like, you know, what's this thing called? Oh my gosh. Stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah. It's another like, one. Yeah.
they made us seem like we were gonna be on fire all the time.
That's it's so true.
It's like they really taught us that in school. Like, hey, by the way, whenever you catch on fire, stop, drop, and roll. And it's like, no.
I totally thought by now that I would have had to do that a couple times.
Yeah, what gives? Nobody wants to set me on fire. Just saying. Yeah,
that's so true. Some of the skills we focused on as kids were like totally misguided.
Oh yeah. No, I definitely think we were going to be more. Yeah. We were going to be on fire more, that we're going to be quicksand, you know, quicksand was definitely going to be a thing.
Right. Yep.
You know? So yeah, I don't know. I think we definitely prepared for a lot. The other thing too, is like, I remember when our teachers would be like, hey, you know, you're not going to have a calculator everywhere you go. So learn your times tables.
That's so true.
And guess what? My phone has a calculator, doesn't it? Mrs. Martinez from the third grade.
And guess what? So, that calculator's with me all the time.
All the time. So I didn't have to learn my times tables. But to my detriment, somebody says, what's this times this? I'm kind of lost sometimes.
No, yeah, that is so true. Showing your work and like doing all of that stuff in school.
And then they change the math.
Yeah. And then they just go and change it. Like, I don't even know how are you going to help your kids do math now when like it's a totally different system.
No idea.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. I'm going to be lost, dude. I know that much. But definitely there's a lot of things like that were, like you said, issues that we were made to feel were going to be bigger issues and that are no longer even a thing, you know?
That's so true. I'm going to be thinking about that constantly now. So watching TV is like, yeah, I thought this was going to be a bigger problem. Yeah.
I mean, stop, drop, and roll. All these kind of little things that we were taught, you know, like I remember the earthquake drill.
Yeah.
Get under your desk, you know? And I guess that's if like things fall.
Yeah, so I guess so. But you know, I grew up in like upstate New York, and like there's not really earthquakes ever, but like you still learn that stuff and you think like, oh, I'm gonna have to know this. Gotta remember this. I don't know. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff like that. You know, it's like I think poisonous snakes seemed like it was a thing. Like I was gonna get bit by poisonous animals more often and have to like know what to do or
my thing is like, hey. Look at their eyes. If their eyes are round, you're fine. If their eyes are slit, then they're venomous. I'm like, you really think at 11 years old, I'm going to look at the eyes? I'm going to run for my life. You know?
Wait, wait, wait. Hold on. Stop. Don't stop running. Turn around. What kind of eyes does it have?
Let me look into your eyes, snaky snake. Just get you in the face. Bit you in the face.
Only thing I ever remember, because there's no way, like, I don't remember which snakes are poisonous and which ones are fine, but like, I do know that I remember learning one time, like, basically, like, bright colors are kind of like nature's way of telling you that something is dangerous sometimes.
Right.
So, did you ever learn that?
Yeah, I don't remember the rhyme. There's a like, what is it? Yellow and black, you're dead, Jack. Yellow and red, you're dead.
So either way, you're dead.
Yeah, either way. Let me see. Now I have to look it up.
Brown and black, colors. You're dead. White and red, you're dead.
Okay, so the rhyme goes: red touching black, safe for Jack. Red touching yellow, it will kill a fellow.
Ooh. Interesting. I never learned that one. That's a good one to know.
Yeah. So, like, but you're not going to remember that in the heat of battle.
Yeah. Again, stop. Stop what you're doing. Don't stop running. Say the rhyme. What's the rhyme?
Yes.
Hold on. I got to look up the rhyme.
So yeah, exactly. Say. It's like I'm on my phone, you know, Googling all this stuff. And it's like, no, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm not going to be thinking about all that while I'm encountered with, like, you know, a boa constrictor or something crazy. Yeah. But that, you know, and again, like, most of the snakes that are in, like, your garden and stuff aren't bad, you know? Usually it's like if it's a rattlesnake or something, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, man. Mini episode.
Mini episode. I liked this, though. This was fun. You know, I think... Yeah, we thought we'd let you guys out of class early today. go enjoy the sunshine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did we answer his question?
Why is quicksand not a bigger issue than that? I think we, in a way, we empathized with him. We empathize with you, Teach, because we feel the same things that you do. And I don't know why the world doesn't have more quicksand. Honestly,
it's not something that we're desiring for the world in general.
Frankly, I'm happy, you know, it's not a bigger problem.
You know, yeah, exactly. You know what this world needs? More quicksand.
Maybe people would, you know, act more cautiously if there was just random quicksand, like, just throughout the world. You know what I mean? At any moment, you could just sink into it. Like, maybe we would all be a little bit more careful.
Yeah, we'd watch our words more. We'd be more emotionally in tune with the environment.
Less judgmental. You
know, yeah, because, oh, well, there's Phil. He got into quicksand and now he's dead. So let's just all respect each other.
Wish I didn't say that thing to him over lunch break earlier. You know?
Yeah. Now he's dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Quicksand got him.
Yep. Yeah. So now, I like the mini format. You know, it's fun, and we won't do this all the time, but we'll definitely do it whenever, you know, sometimes we may have to. So, but love you guys. Thanks for listening. We're just so excited that you guys have hung with us for 31 episodes.
Yeah, man. 31 episodes. That's a huge milestone. So thank you guys so much for sticking around, listening in, and we will catch you in 32.
All right. See you guys.
Take care.